Hello, my name is Haley.
And this is Richa.
And welcome to another episode of Dimes of Crime.
What are you drinking, Haley?
I am drinking a old fashioned with Hotel Tango bourbon. Yeah.
I am drinking white wine for a change. I don't know if it counts as a white wine. I think it's Zinfandels are pink wines, right? I don't know how to describe them.
But yeah, I don't really know. I'm not a wine.
They're not
person.
Red, but they're not completely white. They're somewhere in the middle. So,
Last night I went to this place, and it's $25 bottles of wine on Wednesdays.
So. Oh, that's a nice deal.
Yeah. So I drank a wine yesterday. That's red, actually, because the girl I went with likes red, which I like red. It's just like gives me a headache. So I always have to drink a lot of water.
Yeah, I was going to say, drinking red for you is rare.
Yeah. Yeah, it is these days. Anyways, let's get into this episode. I know we've been struggling to make content, but we're still showing up and we're trying our best. So bear with us, both full-time moms and full-time employees of other jobs. And then I guess business owners.
Yeah.
So here we are making content. Okay. This case I'm going to tell you today is the stuff of nightmares and horror movies.
Wait, before you start though.
Disclaimers.
Do the disclaimers.
Yeah. Disclaimers still apply of murder, blood, gore, and so on. You know, true crime. So listen with your headphones on and be weary as you enter into this episode.
Haley gave me a hint about what this episode is about, and I'm very, very afraid. I hate that topic.
It is scary.
So now I'm like creeped out / very intrigued at the same time. But we'll see. Okay, I'm ready.
Today we are talking about Sheila Keen Warren. And just right away, I have to drop this quote from the commentary of this case on you. How often do you hear of a mom being shot at point blank range by a killer clown?
Oh my God, I hate this topic already. So much nervous laughter. I am terrified of clowns. I think they're creepy. I don't know why they exist. I don't know who created this concept of clowns because they're not funny. They're just very, very scary.
Agreed. Like I said, the stuff of nightmares.
I don't like this. Do you remember that VR party where I was there for my birthday week in Hawaii and you guys made me watch that scary experience with the clown nonetheless?
Yeah.
I
and Drew's like, you have to keep playing, you have to keep playing. You're like, I'm closing my eyes. I feel like it was the sounds that are, I won't even play those games. I don't like scary stuff, which is funny because I love true crime.
Yeah.
Which we've talked about because I won't watch Stranger Things for the same reason.
Yeah. For those of you who don't know, Haley and Connor are the ones who introduced us to the world of virtual reality. And they're the first ones in the family that got like the original Oculus console. And we were there for my birthday last year. And they said, Richa, you love scary things and watching scary movies. For those of you who don't know, I love watching scary movies, but I a lot of the time mute them in broad daylight to watch what happens. And they made me sit through a virtual reality scary experience where you're basically confined to a child's bed. You can't move, and all you have to do is look around while scary things happen around you and to you. It was awful.
It's scary. It's scary to watch. I've screamed just watching the screen.
Yeah. Anyways, yes, clowns are awful.
Yeah. So if that doesn't make you absolutely want to jump headlong into the deep end of this case, I ask, what will? A killer clown and all the drama of this particular case makes us, or me, excited to bring it to you this week. Are you ready to get started?
So much nervous laughter.
We're headed to Wellington. Do you know where Wellington is?
No. Is it another small town?
Florida. Yeah.
Whoa.
Like West Palm Beach. Yeah.
That's crazy. Where? Like South Florida?
Like
North
West
Florida?
Palm. Like West Palm.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. I am not familiar with that area.
I mean, I'm not familiar with Florida, so I'll be there sometime this year, and I can tell you when for the listeners, but we'll be there at some point.
I know when.
It's a place where people would move to get away from higher crime areas of Florida. It's a place people felt safe and secure. Or until all of a sudden that idyllic scene was ruined forever by a killer clown.
Dun, dun, dun.
But we're probably getting ahead of ourselves. So let's start from the beginning. Yes, Wellington, Florida. May 26, 1990, it's Memorial Day weekend in Wellington. The Warren family, husband Michael, wife Marlene, and their son Joey were spending this holiday weekend a bit differently. Michael was headed to the racetracks while Marlene and Joey opt to stay at home to eat breakfast together. There's an unexpected knock at the front door. Marlene goes to answer it and finds a clown holding flowers and balloons standing on her front porch.
The front door. No. No. Are you kidding me?
Shut the front door. Literally.
No, are you serious? That's literally what happens? This is not a joke?
No, this is all real life. This actually happened.
Oh my God. For real life. Like in Bluey.
Mom life. The clown offered the items to Marlene without a word. Marlene thinks it's some sort of a gift and has no reason to believe anything sinister is at play in that moment. It's actually reported that Marlene says, "Oh, how nice." Upon seeing the clown and what she thinks is a special delivery being handed to her. But no, it doesn't actually reveal itself as anything remotely nice. The clown drops the flowers and the balloons and pulls out a gun. And if you can believe this, shoots Marlene in the face twice.
Fuck this. I'm so over it already.
I know. I got chills.
Oh, my God. You're just like someone knocks on your door and you open the door. It's not just bad enough that it's a stranger. It's a stranger dressed in a clown costume holding flowers.
Always look through the peephole, okay? That's one of our another Dimes of Crimes rules. Look through the little peephole, or don't answer the door if you don't have one of those. Or nowadays, get a ring. Get a ring doorbell. You can see who's at your door.
If you guys know me and you ever send me, you know, one of those like Christmas grams or any kind of like celebration things that involves a clown at my doorstep, just know that I might taser them. And that's on you guys. The blood of that clown will be on you guys.
I know what I'm going to get you one of these days, though.
No. I fully expect at some point, instead of being iced on one of these family reunions, I'm going to get clowned on one of these family reunions.
How about an elf?
That might be better than clowns, for sure. As long as it doesn't involve creepy face paint and like a giant smile on your face. It's just, if I open my front door and see a clown standing there with flowers, I'm not excited. I don't give it the benefit of doubt. I'm like shutting that front door as fast as I can.
I know. And remember I said Marlene wasn't home alone. Her son Joey was there. So upon hearing the gunshots, Marlene's son, Joey, sprints to the door and sees a clown, one that he later describes as having broad shoulders and big hands. He walks calmly away from the bloody scene on the front porch and gets in a, or sorry, the clown walks calmly away from the bloody scene. And then they go to the clown just goes to the two-door Chrysler LeBron, or is that how you say it?
I have no idea.
LeBaron, Chrysler LeBaron. When the, I'm going to have trouble say this car name. When the Chrysler LeBaron drives off, Joey redirects his attention to his mother, who is bleeding out and on the verge of dying just inside the front entryway. In the meantime, several neighbors heard the gunshot, one of which called 911 to report that she had been told by a few of Joey's friends that Marlene had been shot. When first responders arrived on the scene, they loaded Marlene into a waiting ambulance and rushed her to a hospital. Her obviously grave injury at the gunshot to the face, and let us not forget what is beyond her face, her brain, was proving to look more and more fatal with each passing minute. Marlene arrived at the hospital, and despite all the medical personnel did to prevent the injuries from becoming fatal, she died 2 days later.
No, shoot.
I know.
I was really hoping they were able to save her. By the way, this is coming at a really weird time. I'm rewatching a lot of the Criminal Minds seasons. And I kid you not, last night one of the ones I watched was about a killer clown.
It's funny because I started Criminal Minds too, but I haven't just gotten into it because there's so many shows right now to watch. I was like struggling forever to find something, and so I was like, well, I'll watch Criminal Minds. And then now there's so much other stuff to watch. It's in my
What's this other stuff? It's not Stranger Things. I know that, so I can't talk
Peaky to you about Blinders. That. Peaky Blinders. Peaky Blinders is out. Yellowstone. The Boys.
Is that the superhero
one? That's still a lot. Yeah.
The Boys? Yeah.
Yeah, and it's even worse this season. I don't know how that's even possible, but it's even more disgusting than all the other seasons, which is saying a lot if you watched it.
I watched the first season. I have no desire to watch the second one. I'm desperately waiting for the Stranger Things, like, volume two. I can't believe they split it into two volumes. This is ridiculous that I have to wait for the end. And someone recommended Umbrella Academy, so I might have to check that out. Umbrella Academy and Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, based on our last case. So now I'm really interested in watching that. Yeah.
You should watch that.
Anyways, okay. So Killer Clown rides off. The moms rush to the hospital. There's witnesses reporting that she was shot to the first responders. And two days later, she's now deceased, which is really sad.
Mm-hmm. And so now we're left with the obvious question of who would want to kill Marlene Warren? By all accounts, Marlene was described as friendly, courteous, and kind. She was originally from Michigan, but after her first husband died, leaving her a widow with two small children, she met Michael Warren. Marlene was 22 and Michael was 19 at the time, which is very young, and they eventually moved to South Florida, where they built a new life and business there. And things seem to be going well from the Warren family. Michael gets a job as a meat inspector, and as a side hustle, they start to invest in rental properties. It's slow going at first, but soon their hard work is paying off, and they start to pull in some good money. And actually, they're doing so well that Michael and Marlene were able to buy their dream home in a new subdivision in Wellington, Florida. Michael is also able to quit his job and open a used car dealership. And this dealership, it would be the drastic turning point in their relationship.
In a good way or in a bad way?
Not in a good way.
Oh, okay.
And it started with Michael and Marlene becoming engrossed in their own business ventures. Marlene was basically running the real rental property business by herself, while Michael was becoming more and more involved in his used car dealership and going out and having a good time. By having a good time, Michael apparently loved cars, horse racing, and flying planes, all expensive hobbies. And not only that, but weird things started to occur around those hobbies as Michael became fully immersed in them. He went from learning how to fly to owning planes of his own. And then it was stolen and then found, but the motor was broken. He went from loving horse racing to buying his own racehorses.
Horses and then are expensive. What the heck? How much money are these people making?
So that's the thing. So he gets a plane and then the plane's stolen. And then he buys a racehorse, and then the horse is kidnapped. And then the horse was found dead. All those unfortunate
insurance on all these things?
All those unfortunate occurrences involved big insurance claims.
Oh, look at me, Miss Detective.
Yeah, I know, still right?
Hate the clown thing, but okay.
Now you should maybe change careers. Seriously suspicious. So many suspicious things were happening when it came to Michael and Thin. And then Michael is arrested for odometer tampering at his used car dealership. As it turns out, which you can only imagine, you can sell a car for more money than it's worth, but the odometer has less mileage. And because Michael was doing this so often with the used cars he was selling, it finally caught up with him.
Oh. Shows how much I know about cars. I thought the odometer was the speedometer. And I was like, why would someone want to mess with that? Like,
the speedometer.
Like, it makes sense once you explained it that it's about the mileage. So, okay, he was faking that it had less mileage on them.
Yeah. Michael is found guilty and sentenced to 18 months probation. All of this is to say that Michael was involved in shady practices in both his business life, which eventually bled into his personal life. As it so happens, Michael was spending more and more time at the used car dealership, specifically with the wife of one of his employees, Sheila Keane. let's talk a little bit about Sheila because, whoa boy. Let's start with the fact that she also went by Sheila Shetler, her maiden name, which carried an arrest record with that name. She was charged with shoplifting and later theft and was generally known to associate with people described as, quote, bad, end quote. And those bad people, well, let's look to her ex-husband, who was a Ku Klux Klansman.
Uh-oh.
And had served time for trafficking marijuana.
Is this one of those like episodes that not episodes? Is this one of those stories like Deadly Obsession with Liz and Dave Krupa, where Sheila is Liz? Because I was just about to be like, Sheila, have you met Liz? Because you guys should be.
Oh yeah. See, it's funny because I know that case says Kari Farber. So yeah,
that's the one that you did like the second to last one.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy like that a little bit.
Okay.
So he also, so her ex-husband, who is part of the KKK, had also served time for trafficking marijuana. So not a good person. And so going back to Michael and Sheila, there seemed to be an instant love connection between them. And so much so that Sheila winds up divorcing her husband to continue her affair free and clear from the marriage she felt was holding she and Michael back. People were also starting to notice how close Sheila and Michael had become, and they certainly had become very close. Michael even paid the rent on Sheila's apartment and was there so often that residents in the apartment complex thought it was Sheila and Michael who were actually married. But Michael was still married to Marlene, and oh, what a tangled web they were all in. So this is all prior to Marlene's murder.
So is Marlene just ignoring his promiscuity, whatever the word is? I'm too tired.
Well, since Marlene's not really here to say, I don't know if she was aware of what was going on or not.
Oh, okay. So like no one knows, like none of,
or if it's like one of those things like the neighbors aren't saying things because they don't want to get involved.
Yeah, I mean, I get it, but like now that you know this has happened, I'm wondering if any neighbors or friends and family came out that she confided in about, oh, I suspect that Michael may be having an affair or something like that. I'm not sure, but okay, so you have no information. That's, I was just curious.
I don't okay. know. Yeah. And the drama of that tangled web was becoming wild. Michael was reportedly fighting more and more often with Marlene and would offer to make someone very rich if they would kill her. He often said these kind of murder for hire comments while in a rage over something he claimed Marlene would do, and he later claimed it wasn't serious. This was not the first time Michael had inquired as to the details of murdering his wife. He also asked an attorney offhandedly if a man were to murder his wife, would he still inherit everything in the estate he shared with his wife? The attorney, thinking this was some kind of meaningless conversation, told Michael that if his wife was killed by manslaughter or a third party killed her, or if someone were to, for example, wear a clown suit, therefore preventing a proof of positive identity, you won't be able to get a conviction.
Oh my God.
Yeah. I bet that attorney was regretting the hell out of providing that information. I mean, that kind of sounds like a murder blueprint, don't you think?
I can't. Like, can you imagine? Like, I mean, how dumb and gullible is this person, like just talking to someone over beers or drinks, and he's like, yeah, just dress up as a clown and go murder your wife and you'll get all the money. And he's like, great idea, guy. Like, that's exactly what I'm going to do, because that's very, very much right up my alley. I don't understand. And then I'm getting nervous laughter over someone listening to that story going, wow, that sounds like a great idea when you're drunk. But then they sober up the next day. And there's so many chances that you have where you should go, this doesn't sound right. Like, this is not setting well. Like, I'm sitting here in a clown shop buying clown clothes, a wig, potentially like grease paint for makeup. Like, there's so many points where you're making all these purchases where your mind should go, something's wrong over here. I could do this in a better way. Not that there's a better way to murder people, but come on, clowns.
You can just divorce them and take half of it. You don't have to kill them and take all of it, you know?
Just clowns. Like why? Why involve clowns? I just never understand. But okay, we'll find out soon enough.
And if you thought Marlene was in the dark about these statements her husband was making, you would be wrong.
Oh.
As to be expected, Marlene was also telling acquaintances that she was scared. Marlene mentioned wanting to divorce Michael, but she was afraid that he was going to kill her. And unfortunately, she was right. When the clown appeared on Marlene's front doorstep and shot her in the face, it was obvious that investigators would start with Michael. But wasn't Michael at the racetrack when Marlene was murdered? Michael appeared to have an alibi, but with all the incriminating evidence of his murder for hire statements and his disintegrating marriage, investigators still treated him as a prime suspect. Hmm. They executed a search warrant at his used car dealership, and while they found enough evidence to charge Michael with a laundry list of other offenses that he was found guilty for and went to jail for, investigators were unable to find evidence that would connect Michael or Sheila to Marlene's murder. And so Michael goes to prison for 9 years, and Marlene's murder case seemed to have run cold for several years. Remember, she was murdered in 1990. Sheila and Michael's love sure didn't run cold, though, because they wasted no time. Once Michael was released from prison, they would go to Las Vegas and get married in 2002.
She waited for 12 years?
Yeah, I think he went to prison for 9 years, so this is taking a couple years of investigation. I'm not sure how long he actually went to prison for, but yeah.
I mean, clearly, she was murdered in 1990, so they clearly were having an affair then. Which means now it's 2002. Right. That's 12 years. I mean.
I know. It's crazy. In 2013, the case is reopened after being. Oh, like they got grant money to like reopen cases. So they opened this one.
23 investigators, years later. Wow. Okay.
Investigators spoke with witnesses that had knowledge of the case, but more importantly, they went back through evidence collected so many years before. With tools not available to them back in the day, investigators were able to submit the physical evidence they still had for DNA testing.
Yes, DNA testing for the win.
I know, always, right? And it was this DNA testing that finally brought the entire case together, starting with the white Chrysler LeBaron. Driven to and from the location where Marlene was murdered was connected to Michael's used car dealership.
Oh my God, this idiot. Went and bought a clown after it was suit mistakenly, and then used his own used car. My God. Wow. Well, stay dumb, everyone who commits crimes, but still still very, very perplexing. Okay.
So the car's traced to his dealership. After it was mistakenly returned by a renter to Michael's used car lot instead of the rental car business where they got it from. The car then disappeared shortly after being left in Michael's used car lot with the keys left inside the unlocked interior. The same white Chrysler LeBaron then reappears and is used in the commission of Marlene's murder, only to be dumped in a Winn-Dixie grocery store parking lot.
What? This case is so random.
Once the car is found, investigators search the vehicle and find orange curly acrylic fibers and long brown hair. That long brown hair was later DNA tested and came back as belonging to Sheila.
Oh.
As for the orange clown wig and costume, investigators were able to track down the clown costume to a shop that confirmed a woman came into the shop at closing time desperate to buy a clown costume that night.
Oh my God. What? So they drove one of the used cars from Michael's used car shop or dealership. Then this girl went and bought the most memorable clown costume in the world late at night when it's about to close. Orange wig. Of all the things that she could have bought to murder someone, she bought an orange wig. And in my mind, at this point, I'm picturing neon orange, which makes this, you know, hilarious in a comedic sense of way. But also, I understand that this led to someone's death. So I am conscious of that. But at this point, right, my brain is just compartmentalizing the two things. And then they just leave it all in the car. This is I have no words. I'm still trying to process the fact that's happening. Are they going to describe the costume she wore? Did she wear like a rainbow unicorn costume that someone would have really remembered too?
So investigators were able to track down the clown costume to a shop that confirmed a woman came into that shop at closing time to buy it. This person wound up buying the clown costume, extra white clown face paint, a sponge nose, and an orange curly wig. The customer was described as 5'8 in height, brown eyes, long chocolate colored hair, wearing jeans, and a man's work shirt. The employees at the shop were able to identify this customer later in a photo lineup as being Sheila Keen. Richard just shaking her head over here.
Like who forgets a woman who comes in right around closing time to buy a clown costume with a neon orange wig? Yeah, fuck that. I'm not gonna forget that for 23 years. That's for damn straight.
I know.
Yeah, wow, that woman's up to no good, is she?
Yeah, right. But that orange clown wig, it was forensically tested as well and came back as being identical match to the clown wig that Sheila bought that night at the costume shop. And another weird coincidence. Sheila had dressed up like a clown in the past for work, and there are even pictures of her doing so. As for the Mylar balloons that the clown handed to Marlene at the time she was murdered, they were traced back to a Publix grocery store nearby Marlene's house. And if you know anything about Florida, and I don't, but everyone knows about a Publix, because if you even know somebody who's from Florida, all they do is talk about Publix. So they can't really wait to go try it out. Can't wait to go try it out, but I don't think it's going to live up to my hype.
It might. It's actually pretty nice. I'm not going to lie. It is pretty nice. I still don't get the hype because it's just like,
it's a grocery store.
Really nice Target or something. Yeah,
yeah.
It's like the Target of grocery stores, but it's still a grocery store.
I don't understand, but maybe I'll understand when I finally go to a Publix. Anyways, email us and tell us how great Publix is or if it lived up to your hype if you know somebody who always talks about Publix. This grocery store was the only one in the area that carried that kind of heart-shaped balloon. And store employees recognized the customer by describing her as having long brown hair. And get this, the balloons were bought about an hour and a half before the murder.
Oh my God.
Info that could be backed up with a receipt Publix was able to produce.
23 years later, or is this all old evidence that they had collected at the time?
So I think it might have been old evidence that they collected and now they're reinvestigating and coming up with this stuff.
Okay.
Finally, with DNA testing in the mix and all the evidence coming together to create a solid case, investigators begin to track down Sheila Keen Warren and where did they find her? Both Michael and Sheila had moved to Blue Ridge Mountains in Abingdon, Virginia. And I looked up how to pronounce his name prior and I did it right. And then I forgot.
It's so perfect for a killer clown. Abingdon. The killer Abingdon. Clown lives in Abingdon.
It's not how you pronounce it, but let's just go with that because that's how it looks like it's spelled. It's Virginia. So Blue Ridge Mountains in Virginia. I'm just going to say that. Investigators arrived at Sheila and Michael's home and wasted no time in arresting her in 2017, 27 years after the murder took place. That's how old I am. I'm 27 years old.
That is like the most random factoid you can end that sentence with. We're talking about a killer clown story, someone who wore an orange wig, and then Haley ends that sentence with, that is how old I am.
That means I have lived my whole life, you know, like 27 years. This lady is just living her life. She murdered somebody.
Still don't understand why she dressed up like a clown. All things she could have picked. I mean, it could have been a mermaid. It could have been any other Halloween costume that had a mask, but she dressed as a clown.
I'd be scared if it was a scream mask, probably more than a clown.
Really? Because I would be just as scared as if it was a clown. Because at least the scream mask is like, you can buy that at a regular costume shop. Like, honestly, can you imagine the effort it went into doing the white clown paint?
I know. What about Chucky mask?
It's grease paint.
That'd be scary.
Any kind of mask. It's not that much effort. You just put the mask on. But this one is like legit effort. Like you bought the wig. You bought the mask. I mean, you bought the,
face paint.
You bought the fluffy nose. Like, what was she going to do with the fluff? And why did she buy flowers? If she was just going to shoot her. What? Like, I don't understand. None of this makes any sense. Are you going to? I hope you explain why, what thought process was behind the flowers.
I'm not, unfortunately, because the trial of Sheila Keene Warren for the murder of Marlene Warren is still ongoing as of 2022.
Oh my God. The justice system has to do better. How has it been? Like, so now it's 32 years later? Yeah, 32.
With the case being delayed 6 times for various reasons, including possible proof in the form of a jailhouse admission by a Maine-based prisoner that he had knowledge of who killed Marlene Warren and was not Sheila Keene Warren. So some inmates like, no, it wasn't Sheila. So they're like, all right, delayed the case. And now they're struggling to get the witnesses to like come on the stand. So it's delayed again. What do you think? Do you think the evidence overwhelmingly points to Sheila? Do you think the main prisoner coming forward with knowledge or the real murderer is just a defense attorney ploy to delay the case?
Defense attorney ploy to delay the case.
But better question. What do you guys think? Let us know. Either email us at dimesofcrime@gmail.com or message us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and let us know what you guys think. Why is a case taken 32 years? That's the math?
Yeah, 32 years. Also, if any of you email us clown pics, I will block you.
Email us clown pics and I will unblock you.
No. Haley's going to print all of those pictures and put them up in my bedroom and secretively at some point. And I'm going to come back home to a house full of clown pics.
Under your bed when you like go to clean your bed.
Oh my God. Worst nightmare.
A clown doll. How about that?
Worst nightmare.
So, yep, that's the case of Marlene Warren and her ultimate demise, which is really unfortunate. But your worst nightmare is the killer clown.
That's crazy.
And I really hope that Marlene Warren gets the justice she deserves by getting Sheila Warren life in prison.
Yeah. I mean, you are innocent until proven guilty. So apparently she's the alleged killer clown here. But we'll see.
Right. And I hope Michael serves time, too, because I'm to guarantee he was on it.
Yeah, it sounds like it. He clearly like stole his own plane. And what did he do to his horse? Tore the insurance money. So can you imagine like what he would have done?
Kidnapped it. Yeah. And killed it.
I also think this is our first case where we don't have a resolution. Yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, everywhere else, like, there's been resolution. We know that that's the killer, but for some reason, they just didn't get enough jail time or whatever. I think this is the first one where we just legitimately don't know the end. So, if you guys are familiar with the case and following it and you hear more updates on it, let us know.
Yeah, we'll also be keeping an eye on it and giving you any updates on social media and maybe future episodes when we have the trial.
Yeah, maybe Haley will do a reel where she dresses up as a clown in the near future.
No. No.
But okay, and that's all we have, I guess, for today.
Yep. See you next Thursday with a drink in hand.
Don't let the murder thoughts bite.
Good night.